Some years ago, a priest was at a wedding reception, sitting with some folks at a table, and there was a man at the table who looked at the priest and said, "Father, don't you wish you could be married?" Well, you know, the fellow was probably a few drinks deep at that point. And he probably bought every kind of progressivistic thinking that comes down the pike. And so to the question, "Father, don't you wish you could be married?" The priest said to the man, "Sir, is that your wife sitting next to you?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Don't you wish you could be married to someone else?" The man looked astonished. He said, "That's really what that question is like to me." Now, a lot of people, I think over the years, and the decades perhaps, have mused and thought about the loneliness of the priest. And it's true. The priest experiences and must experience a certain loneliness. This, after all, is in a sense the depth of the priestly mystery that's found in the agony in the garden. When all have abandoned the Lord Jesus, but he depends upon his Father, he says, "Thy will be done." The priest who lives that loneliness united to Christ does not find that a space of emptiness, but it becomes a place of fruitfulness in his ministry. We see that Jesus surveyed the crowd. And it says his Sacred Heart was moved. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep and shepherd is a relationship. From the cross, Jesus, abandoned, said, "I thirst." He thirsted to receive souls, not in a needy way, in order to dress his own woundedness, but so that he might give them refreshment from his love and his life. We remember the woman who went to the well to draw water. She was lonely. She was condemned. Jesus gave her the water from his heart. I think perhaps if we look in art and literature, it was a layman who wrote the great work, The Diary of a Country Priest. Robert Bresson, the French director, made a film of it. He understood that loneliness of the priest joined to Christ. We who work in the Ministry of Healthcare often encounter others in the loneliness of sickness, of dying, of the abandoned elderly, sometimes not even abandoned. Sometimes it is that they merely are the last person in their family, and they're alone. And it is to those places that the Lord Jesus loves to go. The single sheep that lost its way, no hope to get back. But the Lord Jesus goes to get that sheep in a particular way. We pray for the lonely Because we know loneliness itself. We've known it. But we know also what God can do with that. In this season, our desire ramps up to want to be with and to be close to others. God came to know and share this desire in the Incarnation. That is one of the great meanings of Christmas. One time a priest was called to anoint a man who was dying. His body was no longer functioning. His intestines didn't work. They asked the priest to come to anoint him. And then he was to be moved to hospice, to be kept comfortable. The priest came, anointed the man, and as he was leaving the room, a man across the hall appeared in the doorframe. He was disheveled, unshaven, covered in tattoos. And he said, "Are you a Catholic priest?" And the priest said, "Yes." And he began to cry. He said, "You could hear my confession." And the priest said, "Yes, I could." He said, "It's been 40 years. And he said, "I've been terrible to a lot of people." Throughout his confession, he cried. At the end of the confession, the priest said, "Who was praying for you?" He said, "My mother in heaven." He said, "Everyone else left me. I'm so terrible." The priest told him for his penance, "Please pray for the man dying across the hall. If he was not dying, the priest would not have been there." With more tears, he thanked the priest, and he smiled. Sometime later, the nurse called the family of the man dying across the hall. And they said, "The doctors were here. They've never seen that kind of a blockage clear up. He's not going to hospice. He's going home. There is the efficacy of the sacrament, to be sure. There's also God, I'm sure, who shared and allowed the prayers of this repentant sinner across the hall to share in that efficacy. Because as Scripture says, all of heaven in that moment was rejoicing." God comes to us. He finds us in strange ways, in our loneliness. Sometimes brings himself through the loneliness of another person. Today, as I walked around the nursing home, I came to a room where a woman who is rather blind lives. She was sitting alone in her room, and she was singing the Christmas song, "Silver Bells." "Silver bells, silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city." And as she got to a line, I stepped sideways in the room and started to sing with her. Together we were getting about a third of the lyrics correct, two-thirds wrong, kind of like life. But we had the joy of sharing it in song, sort of like grace, wrapping us up with all of our mistakes and so forth, and carrying us along to the end of the tomb. And she said, "Father, is that you?" And I said, "Yes, it is." And we visited. What would the next days be like? She reminisced about Christmases in which, well, everyone was still living. Now she was by herself, though, reaching out, even in her loneliness, to the warmth of Christmas. And just before I left, she said, "Father, one more." We sang Silent Night. All is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. And she said, "Father, we'll finish singing it when we get there." God has come to visit his people.